morning, first of all, to Election Commission for at least opening its eyes. So what if it's still lying in bed with no intention of doing anything? And not at all good morning to the haters of the student of entire political science, someone who can take out gas from a gutter and has now built an anti-satellite missile, and I don't know why do people still doubt his scientific temper and education. And haters are going to hate, saying that what scientists achieved in 2011, Modi is taking credit for in 2019. Hey, we had plastic surgery since Vedic times, had satellites and live streaming and whatnot. So what if most of the institutions whose achievements Modi ji keeps taking credit for were all envisioned and established under the prime ministership of Jawaharlal Nehru? And that ISRO scientist Dr. V.K. Saraswat says he didn't get positive response from UPA. In 2010, he was against it. So what if he has taken the Shakha salute on stage and is also a member of the Niti Aayog? But I have no doubts about the scientific and technical ability of Indian scientists and the scientific institutions. It is a major feat by any standard. It is 28th March 2019. Congratulations, India, for becoming the fourth nation in the world after United States, China and Russia to demonstrate anti-satellite missile capability by shooting down a satellite. And no, it was not a Pakistani satellite. It was an Indian satellite. But the timing is not just merely suspicious, it is a sign of desperation, and that one word which has been haunting Modi, Shah, Jaitley ever since it got uttered. Nyay, or justice. The amount of headlines that Rahul Gandhi was hogging was deeply discomforting. Mocking the Prime Minister, Congress Chief Rahul Gandhi reminded Twitterati that Modi's announcement coincides with World Theatre Day. Well done, DRDO, extremely proud of your work. I would also like to wish the PM a very happy World Theatre Day, he said on Twitter. Samajwadi Party Chief Akhilesh Yadav accused Modi of giving himself an hour of free TV, which is true, and diverting nation's attention away from issues on the ground by pointing to the sky. Lauding scientists at ISRO and DRDO, West Bengal Chief Minister Mamata Banerjee accused Modi of trying to steal credit from them. Terming it to a gross violation of the Model Code of Conduct, Banerjee said there was no great urgency of announcing the mission by a government past its expiry date and asserted that it seems to be the desperate oxygen to save the imminent sinking of the BJP boat. On speaking of Mamata Banerjee, the autocrat that India doesn't need but might just get if her party manifesto is anything to go by. First returning Rahul's salve against her when he said, he lies, she can't keep promises. Didi hit back saying, he's just a small kid and with her manifesto she aims to go national. West Bengal Chief Minister and Trinamool Congress Supremo Mamata Banerjee yesterday promised to conduct an investigation into demonetization and revive the planning commission if the opposition alliance comes to power after the Lok Sabha elections. Releasing the party's manifesto, Banerjee said the 100 days work scheme would be increased to 200 days and the wages would also be doubled under it. We would conduct a probe into the decision of demonetization and bring back the planning commission. The Niti Aayog is of no use, she said. And I totally agree with all 3 points. We would review the present GST. If it is really helping people, we would keep it, she said. And now we move to the slumber, sloth, incompetency, genuflecting, spineless election commission who has suddenly discovered that electoral bonds are a matter of concern. All these years when Lotus parties were tanking upon anonymous funding, yesterday election commission expressed concern at legislative changes that allowed the use of electoral bonds for anonymous funding of elections, warning this would have serious repercussions on the transparency of the electoral process. Someone needs to remind election commission that we are going through an electoral process right now. It also said changes in the Foreign Contributing Regulation Act 2010 could allow unchecked foreign funding of political parties, raising the specter of foreign influence on India's politics and policies. Both positions, expressed by the body that conducts polls in India in an affidavit filed in the Supreme Court, go against those of the central government. So what they're saying to say, example, if Dassault has paid BJP money or if Adani has paid BJP money and loads of it to do its work or lobby, then you will never know. And as far as for EC, Where were you when these norms were being tweaked? I mean, even you, dear listener, know it's not a far-fetched idea about how Adani has been getting major favors from Modi. According to documents accessed by NewsClick, the Modi government violated various laws and procedures and ignored the advice given by some of its own ministries and departments while arriving at its decision to privatize the 6 airports that are currently owned and operated by the AAI. In addition, the recommendations made by the Department of Economic Affairs in the Ministry of Finance and the NITI, that's National Institution for Transforming India Aayog, on the technical, financial and legal aspects of the bidding process were ignored. Instead, conditions were set up that apparently favored the Adani Group to win all 6 bids to develop the airports at Ahmedabad, Guwahati, Jaipur, Lucknow, Mangaluru and Thiruvananthapuram. The CPI Marxist headed Left Democratic Front government in Kerala has gone to court. The Union Minister of Civil Aviation had even conceded in the Rajya Sabha, the upper house of parliament, that the, quote, prescribed procedure of public consultation or consultation with the state governments which are mandatory for leasing out AAI airports through the PPP mode were not adhered to. And with that, let's head to international news, where US President Donald Trump said Russia has to get out. Trump was said this at the White House alongside Fabiana Rosales, wife of opposition leader Juan Guaido, who has been recognized by the United States and more than 50 other countries as Venezuela's interim president in place of Maduro, demanding that Russia remove troops from Venezuela, and said again that he was not ruling out military action to topple far-left president Nicolas Maduro. And while we are on exits, the easiest joke is perhaps Brexit, but it could well as well be migrants. And the story might sound funny, but it speaks of the sheer desperation of people who have nowhere to go with no help from anyone. Migrants have hijacked a merchant vessel that rescued them off Libya's coast, ordering the crew to head towards Malta. While more than 100 migrants aboard the cargo ship are said to have acted after being told that they would be taken back to Libya from where they were escaping. Malta's military said the ship would not be allowed into its waters, and Italy's Deputy Prime Minister Matteo Salvini described the hijackers as pirates. And that is pretty much all that I have for you for today, except we want to leave the day with the news about Yahya Jammeh, the former president of Gambia, who, according to a latest investigative report, orchestrated the theft of almost $1 billion, about £760 million, from his country before his flight into exile 2 years ago in early 2017 after losing an election. That is all I have for you for today. Stay hydrated, avoid television and even the newspaper if you can. But don't forget to tune into our morning news editorial tomorrow morning for the news and views that were or at least ought to be making headlines. Goodbye from takeapart.in.